Blog Talk Radio.
T minus 10, 9, 8.
The clock is operating. We're underway.
For those of you living out in L.A. on the West Coast. And we've got a chat room set up. Everybody that can, go over and join us in the live chat each and every program. Love to meet you there. And we are close to getting the FM stereo feed. I was working today with Rich to get this mixing board set up. We gave it a test run, almost there. We've got a ground loop, as he explained it to me. So I had to order a part. I hope to have it in a few days. And what it's going to allow us to do is do a 96 or 128-bit stereo stream. So right now, if you're listening, you're getting this on 8-bit, which is not bad. But it's a very compressed signal. So we're going to be doing a hi-fi stereo feed alongside of the Blog Talk 8-bit. So if you have a little faster computer or internet connection, you can enjoy the stereo quality of the broadcast that we'll be bringing to you. So that's coming. Almost there. And I'll tell you, you should see this desk. There are wires everywhere. It looks like a pile of worms. But that's all right. I guess that's what it takes, and so be it. Well, praise God. Let's get Dr. Pat on the line. Stand by. Dr. Pat, how are you tonight?
I'm here.
Well, praise God. How's your week
been
going?
Well, you know, my weeks are always busy.
I
just
know.
Work day and night and in between, and I do a lot of things. I've been trying to discern my husband's writing, and I'll tell you, you know, the guy went to Columbia and Harvard, and I hope that he got somebody to type his papers, because you can't read his writing.
So you're looking at old letters and
Jesus.
Things that he wrote, and
yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, he wrote some things, and you know, I'm working on a novel, and so I'm having a terrible time discerning some of the stuff he wrote. So, but God will help me if He wants it to come through, right?
Well, amen to that. And not only that, but you're close to finishing a second book, The Walking Dead. Is that the title?
Yeah, you know, The Walking Dead is finished. There's a lady that is editing and putting a final edit on. I had another man to look through it, too. And so we should have that pretty much pretty soon. And then I'll turn it over to Pastor Dennis, and he'll get the wheels rolling, and we'll have it up real quick, actually, as soon as she gets finished editing it.
Well, hey, that's fantastic. And if there's anybody out there listening, who has a skill in proofreading or, you know, majored in English in college, you'd like to contact Dr. Pat. She has a number of manuscripts that she needs help on, and the more people doing these, the faster she can get them out. So that's exciting. I know that the first book that you released, Witch Doctor and the Man, The City Under the Sea, is up on Amazon now. So what you're doing then is as you proofread these, you're going to release them and they're going to go out on the Amazon system?
Yes, we'll put them up on Amazon and Kindle.
Kindle,
and
fantastic.
That's where they, you know, they have a little book reading machine that you hold it in your hands.
Yes.
But we also have it up on MiracleInternetChurch.com, and we have the same ones up on, I think it's PatHolliday.com.
Oh, fantastic. So if someone wants to read an e-book, you've already got it to where they can download it.
Yeah, they can download them now, yes.
Oh,
I'm not so sure that they can download them on their iPods and things like that yet, but we'll be working on that.
Well, praise God. Well, Dr. Pat, before you share a message tonight, would you like to go ahead and open up in prayer?
Yes, I would. Father, we just lift up this program, and we thank you, God, for the finances of it and for the listeners and for the deliverances that we've seen. We've seen you take people out of deep, deep darkness, and you've brought them into your light. And Father God, you know, deliverance is a beginning, actually. It's not the end. And unfortunately, many people treat it as though it's the end. That means that they go and get delivered and then they forget all about it. But deliverance gives a person an opportunity to have a clean life and be free so that they can serve you. And so I ask that you draw the people, even after they get delivered, that they'll come back and they'll learn and that they'll stand and they'll be able to walk in the Spirit with you, because it's a teaching. We call this a school of deliverance, and it's for our people that come up and listen to learn, but it's also for the people that have gone through deliverance to learn. So we give you praise and glory that you will draw by your Spirit. Amen.
Amen. And folks, if you're tuning in now, this is a live program, and in the second hour, Dr. Pat is going to be doing the mass deliverance, so we're going to be opening up the lines tonight, as always, second and third hour. So if you need prayer, the number will be 917-889-2745, and if you want to pass that to your friends, along with the link to the show, spread the word about the program, and let's get the message out of deliverance. Well, Dr. Pat, what's the Lord put on your heart for this week?
Well, I got to tell you one thing. I sent the emails out, and I put the wrong link on them. I just noticed it not too long ago. So a lot of people won't know how to get to us, but that's okay. The Lord is putting several things on my heart today. You know, one of the things that I wanted to discuss briefly is what are the qualifications of getting a deliverance? And, of course, the foremost qualification is for that person to be saved. Some lady said, well, Jesus walked around and the people weren't saved and he cast devils out. Why can't we? Well, the truth of it is we can. We can cast devils out. A devil has to obey a believer that has the anointing. But the problem is this. We live in such a perverted world today that it's very difficult to bring people to the understanding that once they get cleaned out, if they don't get filled up with the things of God, and if they don't walk very, very close, very close to the Lord Jesus Christ, then what's going to happen is they'll just get demon-possessed again. And so, you know, demonology it works between the person and Jesus, and the minister is just a person that's anointed by God to speak the word of God into the vessel of that person and to take authority over the demon, because the Bible tells us that they must submit to the name of Jesus. And so that's all we are, is we help the person into understanding about deliverance. So one of the first things is I always like to make sure that the person is saved. And the Bible says that Jesus is the Savior, and also he is the deliverer. And so the person, it's imperative that you turn the person and get them connected to Jesus and his anointing and power as quickly as you can. Because whenever a person goes through deliverance, particularly people that are coming out of deep, deep, dark witchcraft, homosexuality and deep darkness, alcoholism, drugs, and so on and so forth, these are people that are used to submitting to the powers of darkness every day, every second of their life. And they understand the powers of the devil, but they have to be actually taught about the powers of God. Even though they see and experience you driving those devils out of them, and that the devils have to submit to the name of Jesus, they just don't know that those devils have to submit to their authority, and when they use the name of Jesus and so on and so forth. So they have to be taught defense. And that's why a lot of times when you cast out devils, after the person leaves your presence and a little bit later on in the evening, sometimes the demons try to come back. And it's not necessarily the demons that we cast out, because we cage them and we send them to the feet of Jesus. But the kingdom of darkness will send reinforcing devils back to that person. So I immediately like to teach them that the name of Jesus works for them as well as it works for us. But they still have to have that understanding so that they can, when they speak to the demon, I have a great story that I tell about the solitary Satanist man. When we ministered to him, what happened was, let me just pull this off the phone. When we ministered to him, what happened was that I immediately started teaching him to use the name of Jesus, that spirits were subjected to the name of Jesus. And so then we taught him to cover himself with the blood and the wall of fire of the Holy Ghost, and we taught him to call on angels, ask the Lord, the Father, to send angels, and he would send angels also. And so two demons came into his room at nighttime after the deliverance, and they had swords drawn.
Wow.
And they told him, said, we've come to kill you. He said, well, you can't kill me. I have Jesus now. I bind you in the name of Jesus. And all of that was just exactly correct. That's the way we deal with the demons. But there's an element that is involved in deliverance that a newborn Christian just doesn't have. And that element is faith. And so your deliverance minister is a person that has an understanding of the Word of God and an understanding of the power in the Word and in the name of Jesus. And newborn Christians have to know that. So that's why we like for them to be born again. because of the fact, then they can open up and understand the Word of God, and they can hear spiritual talk. A lot of people don't understand that unbelievers do not understand spiritual talk. It's like when Jesus spoke in parables, the masses that surrounded him couldn't understand what he was saying to his disciples because it was spiritual talk. And the devil is from a different spiritual realm. So this is also why you need to be born again, so that the Lord can open your eyes and your ears to hear and see what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you.
Well, amen to that. You know, Dr. Pat, if someone thinks they're going to cast out a demon without being born again, folks, you can try. But then the demon will say, Jesus, I know. You know, Paul, I know. But who are you? And then they'll rip you apart. You run out naked like the seven sons of Sheba. So you know, you do need to be born again. But, you know,
well,
Dr. Pat.
I was talking about the deliverance minister making sure that the person that they're ministering to is born again.
Excuse me.
Yeah, that's okay.
That is true, too.
is an important work, a very important work in the church. And, you know, I advertised that we were going to talk a little bit about sexual magic tonight also.
Oh, yes.
And
a lot of people bound up in that right now.
Well, one of the biggest problems in the American church, I believe, is sex in the pulpit. And the pastors have not been teaching the power of sin over people's lives and what exactly happens to a person whenever they get in the bondages of sex. And so the problem, as I see it, is the church in America is under a grave darkness because, you see, we live in a very sinful culture, and people are just used to going to movies and turning their televisions on, and the goal on television is for the person in authority, whether it be a doctor, a lawyer, a policeman, or a minister. The whole thrust of the program usually is for the hero to get the woman into bed.
Yes.
Or vice versa. And it's looked upon, well, you know, that was just an act. Nothing's going to happen from that, you know. And then from there, in the school systems of America, like in my state, the legislature several years ago passed laws that they could that they had to teach sex education all the way down to kindergarten. Now that's just vile and sick in my opinion, you know. And so the problem
is, it's an abomination, Dr. Pat.
It is, but you see, they teach them also homosexuality is okay and stuff like that. We have grown generations now. With young people think that it's just fun, it's just something that you can do, and that it is not going to have any effect over you. And what I'm telling you is that it will have an effect over you.
Yes, it will.
In fact, if you look in Romans 1, and I'm going to just paraphrase because we're kind of moving fast here. Romans chapter 1 shows the degeneration of man going deeper and deeper and deeper into sin. And the last sin that it speaks about is the lesbian and homosexual sin. And it actually tells us that sin affects the mind of the person there. It says God will turn that person over to a reprobate mind. Now, deliverance ministers understand that sex affects the minds, because I believe it was Wynne Worley was the first one that I heard come out with the idea of the fragmented mind and tie it to sexual activity. Because what he taught was that when a person had sex with another person. They became one in the spirit, and a part of that person's mind becomes fragmented and goes in and follows that other person. And so in deliverance, God wants to put the person back together. And what he taught us to do back then was we cast the demons out, and then we ask God to bring the fragmented mind back and put it back in the person and heal that person's mind.
Yes.
And so it has an effect over the mind. It has an effect over the spirit, and it certainly does have an effect over the body because, of course, we all know that we get the venereal diseases and all sorts of diseases when we go with strange men or women. You know, an interesting thing, in a lot of things that we teach, medical science validates it. Medical science tells us that a homosexual man could have an affair with as many as 1,000 men.
Wow.
And that whoever the homosexual sleeps with, they said it's like he has slept with those 1,000 men. And so when we're ministering to people about sex, we usually tell them to to think about those people that they've gone with. We lead them into forgiving the person, forgiving themselves, asking God to forgive them, and then I've never heard any other deliverance ministry do this, but the Lord showed me this, and I'm sure others do. We explain to them that principle that when they go with a strange woman that's not their wife, both sides of that person's family curses come through her and into the person, the generational curses on both sides. So what we do is we break the general curses, the generational curses, not only on the person, but also those generational curses that are coming down the family lines on all of those people that they have slept with. Now, you can just imagine somebody that lives a loose life, and many of us did. There would be billions of spirits involved in something like that. So when Jesus told us, flee fornication,
yes,
he said it because he knew demonology, and he knew that it was the open door for devils to come flooding in a person. Who knows, maybe Legion was the loose guy in his neighborhood. Who knows what was the root taps to Legion. But the truth is that in order to live free, you have to live pure. And you have to live pure according to the Word of God. And so it's a matter of taking your flesh and getting control of your flesh, getting control of your mind, and you taking charge of that because you are the captain of your ship. And so we teach people to do spiritual warfare so that they can tie that flesh down. I used to teach it in the seminary like this. If you had a great big dragon and you tied down each of the devils, say you tie the dragon's foot down, the dragon's tail down, and each part is loaded with devils, and you get them bound down. By the time you take each area of your life where you have a weakness and you get that each area tied up, by the time you get the whole area, the whole dragon tied, then you can live free. Because I believe Christians can live in peace and freedom but it's living very close to Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something, Omega Man. It's living in what I call self-deliverance.
Yes.
I know that some of the deliverance ministries are living to that level, where that they live in self-deliverance. Sometimes you have to get together with another minister that you can trust and open up and say, look, I'm being bothered with this particular area. Would you pray for me? Sometimes there's areas that you have where a devil has control that you don't know.
Amen.
And this applies to particularly to those people that have a schizophrenia. They have a double mind. They have spirits that... I tell you, there's some people that teach that schizophrenia and layering of the mind is fragments of the mind. And yet, whenever somebody has been mind controlled and their minds have been handled and altars have been put into those various passageways of their mind, those things talk. And it's my experience that if something breaks off from your body and your flesh, it's not alive anymore. Is that your experience? And yet these little pieces of the so-called fragmented mind talk back to you.
Right.
That tells me that they're demons. They're not personalities. They're not part of your personality that is broken off from your body, from your mind, that can talk. Okay?
Dr. Fett, I believe we can only have one personality, and these other things that are manifesting are demons.
That's exactly what I just said.
Amen.
And you said it in a different way, but that's exactly. But yet, you see, some deliverance ministries, they have gone into the psychological ends of this mind science, and they take on the doctrines of the psychiatrist and the psychologist. And when the psychiatrist and the psychologist get a hold to a person that has a schizophrenic mind, a double-minded person, they try to bring these various personalities together and make them be able to become one personality. And, of course, the difference is we take the different personalities and just cast them out because we think they're just devils, and that's what they are. The scary part about it is there's one minister, and I won't mention any names, but this particular minister is internationally known and has ministers all over the place, and I know some of this person's ministries. So what they were being taught was that when they come across somebody that has what they call altars, they call the altars forth and they question the altars. And they ask the altars, do you want to get born again? And the altar speaks back and says, oh, yes, I want to get born again. And they lead the altar into the prayer of salvation, and then they ask the altar, do you want to leave or do you want to go to be with Jesus now that you're saved? And the altar always says, well, you know, I help this person, I take care of them, and they don't cast out that demon. Now, that is a real story, and if I told you the name of the person, you'd faint. But the truth is that you have to be very careful about who you open up your spiritual mind to and your spiritual body to, because of the fact that everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is not going to enter into the kingdom of God. And you can get in more trouble than you were in if you put yourself in the hands of a novice to try to get you free. We had a woman that was married Now, this is who I'm talking about, the type of stuff I'm talking about. Her husband started coming to the church, and he started seeing us cast out devils, and he would go home, and he would mock what we've seen in terms of trying to cast out devils of his wife. And it got to the point that we couldn't get the devils to move out of her, and I couldn't figure out why. And finally, we discovered that he was ministering deliverance to her. And, of course, he had not been trained he had never gotten delivered himself. And so what he was doing is he was making it harder for her, because every time he ministered to her, those devils would just get stronger and stronger. So that's why we encourage people that have gone through deliverance here to come back, learn, listen, watch, observe, watch what we do, watch what the chat room's talking about. Some people are, I'm not slamming anybody. I'm telling you what I know from a person that came to my ministry, okay?
But if you know, Dr. Pat?
If it's who you says it is, that's fine. Go ahead.
I find I had a couple of conversations today with some people, and one of them said, he was a Christian, said, who, me have a demon? I can't have a demon. I'm a Christian. I run into that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's almost like I want to bang my head against the wall, but then I have to realize, you know, when they have mm-hmm. their encounter, maybe they'll remember that we talked about a Christian can have a demon, and they'll come our way and try to learn. Hope it's not too late for them. Then I talked to another one who said, you know, I got some little bit of deliverance from listening to a program, and I'm all set free. I don't have anything left in me. And once again, wrong answer. Because, folks, only God knows what we've got in us. You know, I've talked to other people who said, you know, hey, I lived, you know, like I wanted to for 50 years. Lived like the devil.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I got some deliverance the other day, and, you know, I'm not going to have any more problems. I'm totally set free. You know, I
mm-hmm.
keep hearing that out there. And it's kind of a late comment for what you said earlier about self-deliverance. Folks, we get some deliverance. We don't stop there and say, okay, I'm all done. Let me go back to my regular life. Let me go back to my other church. You just got the process started. The worst thing
mm-hmm.
you can do is stop right there, because while you've gained a little bit of victory, there's plenty of things embedded in all of us that only come out over a period of time. You know,
yes.
I remember even Win Worley, and, you know, this was a great pioneer, and he says,
yes.
I'm not going to be probably set free of everything until I meet Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And, folks, it's true. And so we've got to seek deliverance. We've got to continue in deliverance. Once you get some deliverance, you don't stop there. You keep on going. It's like taking antibiotics for 2 days out of the 14-day course that they tell you to take them. You may start to feel a little bit better, but if you stop, the bacteria that is left that you didn't kill is going to come back with a force that's going to take a much more powerful antibiotic to kill
what
could have been killed if you had stayed on the course. Now, you peel back that onion, you get down another layer. You keep on going. And I, you know, I've talked to some people in my family that I'm referring to right now today. And, you know, it's like I don't know what to say to them, because clearly they're in error, and that's a very dangerous situation to be in, to say, you know, number one, I can't have a demon. It's impossible, because Jesus delivered me of everything when I accepted him. Or number
yes.
two, I got a little bit of deliverance, and I won't need any more. I've been totally set free of everything. Two very dangerous comments that I keep hearing over and over from people. And I just wanted to say to you folks, you don't stop there. There is no stopping. You've got to do self-deliverance every single day. And you've got to continue to increase your knowledge, come to these programs like we're doing tonight, School of Deliverance,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and keep on going all the way. There is no turning back. And you're going to continue to get contaminated. You mentioned, Dr. Pat, people watching movies with sex scenes. I remember growing up, I would go down to the 7-Eleven, and that's where I would get my movies, go in there and get a big gulp and a movie, back before the DVDs.
Mm-hmm.
And I would not
mm-hmm.
rent a movie unless it had a sex scene in it. You know, I'm 16, 17 at the time. And, you know, that's what I thrived on.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I did that, I opened myself up to a spirit of lust. It continued to grow as I fed it.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you expose yourself, folks, to an open door, through movies, through music, maybe through interaction with ungodly friends,
mm-hmm.
you're going to open yourself up to transference of spirits.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the hardcore things that we talk about, witchcraft, drugs, fornication. You know, you mentioned sexual ties. I hadn't thought about that, Dr. Pat. I know that demons come down the sexual line, but generational curses too, huh?
Yes, because the person becomes one. When you
That's
have
serious
sex
stuff right
with
there.
A person, yes, it is. And so we have ministered to people, and we have broken their family curses. And then after they renounce the sexual affairs, we cut the soul ties.
Yep.
And we break those family curses coming down from both sides of each person that they've had sex with. And let me tell you, they just get free. I mean, it's very easy. I've noticed that the deliverance time that you have, that you usually spend, hours doing, becomes shorter when you learn some of the techniques that the Lord has taught us over the years, that you're not just there for hours struggling, trying to get spirits out, and trying to figure out whether it's this spirit or that spirit. No, usually deliverance is not as difficult as a lot of people would try to make it. It all is wrapped around sin, and it's either the personal sin or it is the generational sins.
Amen.
And once you can bring the person to the altar, and this is why we vet the person is sometimes, if a person, for instance, has been in witchcraft, personally into witchcraft, they have to renounce that because of the fact that they have been serving other gods and another power. And so what we do is we bring them into repentance, and they renounce it, and they renounce the power of Satan because they're getting ready to receive the power of God.
Yes.
And whenever they renounce the things that they've done, and sometimes, let's say somebody has been involved in fortune telling, astrology, and ritualisms, occult ritualisms, and they confess those three things, and they repent from those three things, and you cut the ties that are the garlands, as Bishop Kenko calls them, that are wrapped around that person. You cut those garlands, and usually those devils just start flying out. You don't have to struggle with them. But you see, the reason that devils, sometimes you have to struggle with them, is because they have anchors in the person, is the way I like to look at it.
Anchors or maybe hooks? Yeah.
Yeah, hooks, and they have claws, and they have tails.
Right.
And they grab a hold, and so it's like when we cast out Kundalini, we cut the tail off. God showed me to do that one time, because we used to struggle with that spirit, and it wouldn't come out.
Sure.
But by cutting the tail off, the reason that the Lord showed me was that tail gets down into the spine, and it wraps itself or anchors itself on the tailbone. So when you cut that tail, it loses its anchor, and it just slides right out. And I've heard you cut the heads of the Leviathan spirit out and the tail.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
And
I like to take those heads off of that Hydra.
And it just really there's just a few things like that that will help you to speed the deliverance along so that you're not struggling with the person.
Well, but isn't that key, what you would do in a wilderness environment? You know, you see Bear Grylls. Man versus wild, he'll go out there and he'll encounter a rattlesnake. You know, he'll take the head off. And he finds scorpions all the time. You take the tail off. Folks, it's the same thing. It stops the battle right there. That's the quickest way to victory. And I wanted to make another comment. Let me tell you how dangerous it is. And I told you about my temptation to go to movies. I'm very selective now what I watch. I ask God to help me. In fact, I went by the theater the other day. There was nothing edifying to watch. I just kept on driving. But it wasn't too long ago that I saw a movie with George Clooney. Very popular actor. You know, the women like George Clooney. They think he's a very handsome man. I used to like him in the old day, but when I got to learn more about him, I really don't like him anymore. But I saw this movie, and I saw the movie called The American. And it's about a hitman, goes overseas, and it's about his last days before he dies. And during the course of this movie, it's very dark, you're introduced to assassinations, which is murder. He frequents a prostitute. He engages in oral sex and sodomy. And at the end, he dies a horrible death, basically alone. And I walked out of there with a spirit of depression that had hit me. And, you know, all folks, for the price of a ticket, 2 hours of entertainment, and you walk out of there with a demon. And, you know, that's how you get reinfected. And so I had to repent, and you have to command any foul spirits that came in through that eye gate to go in Jesus' name. And I, in terms of, you know, does deliverance have to be hard? No. You know, look at how you change the oil in a car every 3,000 miles. It's preventative maintenance, right? I even say when you're taking a shower, you know, you're scrubbing down with soap, shampoo, you can be praying right there in the shower. Get clean all at the same time. You know, take authority over the strong man inside of you, the gatekeeper, bind him up, bind and cage any foul spirits that came in, and command them to go to the foot of Jesus to be judged before their time. And then ask the Holy Spirit to fill you up. You can do that every morning. Provided you're not engaging any something, you know, any deliberate sin, okay, that then you're going to have to deal with that. And, of course, if you know to do good and you keep doing it, there comes a point in time where you could be in some serious trouble. You know, forgiveness is not a license to go back and sin and keep doing the same thing. It's supposed to be a change of ways, but, you know, we all do slip up from time to time.
Well, you know, Omega Man, demons interconnect, and we were going to talk about sexual magic.
Yes.
A lot of people don't realize, but your occult, higher occult, like the Bohemian Club, the Skull and Bones, and your fraternities, and witchcraft, to join a witchcraft coven or a Satanist coven, they all have sexual rituals. I got a call just the other day. A man was being tied down by three of what he calls Satan's brides.
Wow.
And all that means is that Satan, I tell you, when a witch is in a higher level, they all marry Satan as his bride. I've heard of it many, many times. So Satan uses sex to tie people up. The other thing that he uses is drugs. Very powerful drugs will take a person, and they're able to get into the spiritual realms easier when they can take drugs. And the sexual magic, everybody that practices witchcraft, Satanism, do sexual magic and sexual rituals.
Yes.
Crowley did it, taught it. His books are filled with it. And all of his followers follow sexual magic. And so it's a cord that has to be broken. It's
that's why they transfer their demons, Dr. Pat. I mean, if you know of a witch or a warlock, folks, they've engaged in orgies to include homosexual and lesbianism, pedophilia, and bestiality. They all have those common denominators, and I believe that they're transferring demons back and forth, Dr. Pat.
Well, that's true. They do transfer demons back and forth. But you see, what witches and Satanists and occultists don't understand is the ritualisms that they go through is not to give them power to command the devils. The demons lead them into the ritualisms to give the demons power over the person by submitting to the ritual. They are giving the demons power over them. And a lot of witches don't realize that they were not in control of the demons until all of a sudden they find Jesus and they find out that they never controlled the demons anyway.
That's right.
And so it's something that it's your base feelings. God created sex, and sex is a beautiful thing. It really is. Now, you know, I don't have sex because I'm not married. But in marriage, God created sex, and it's a beautiful, wonderful thing that he created. And he meant for people to have joy in sex. But what has happened is Satan has taken that creation, and he's defiled it, and he's made it dirty. And he wants people to go after the dirty sex and not the good sex. So he comes against marriage, and he brings people into that homosexual relationship. Now, I want to show you something here that a lot of people, they know it, but they kind of scan over. In the Bible, shows us the people that are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And you see it over in 1 Corinthians 6:11, and it says in verse 9, it says, "Know ye not, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor idlers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves and mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And then listen to this now. Paul wrote this. "And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, and you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." And so you see, Paul faced exactly the same thing that we're facing today, just as severe as we're facing it. He faced cults, he faced Satanists, he faced pagans, he faced homosexuals, he faced lesbians, adulterers. Everything that we minister to today, Paul ministered to it in his time. But there's one thing that Paul knew, and that was this. He knew that they could be converted and that they could be turned away from those things that they're doing, and then they could live for Jesus, they could be sanctified, and they could live in his name and be peaceful and washed in the blood of the Lamb. That's all deliverance is. It's not some kind of a secret thing that just a few people can understand. Everybody that knows Jesus, that studies his life and understands that he cast out devil, if they will submit themselves to the Lord, Jesus will teach them the truth of the Word of God. And the truth is that he came to set the captives free.
Amen. And let me also add a something onto the tail end of our last point about sex. You know, God created that. And God knew what he was doing when he said, you know, we're not to fornicate, commit adultery. And I just came up with four reasons why we need to remain chaste and reserve sex for one man, one woman, for marriage. Because here's what happens, okay? You will develop ungodly soul ties when you sleep around. Many of us have had those. You can get a curse of the bastard when you're not married because you're probably going to have a pregnancy outside of marriage, so you got another curse on you there. There's sexually transmitted diseases when you're sleeping around, and there's sexually transmitted demons. There's four reasons right there why we should save sex and sex for marriage. Yet they don't preach any of that in the schools, Dr. Pat. They say, you know what,
go
ahead and do what you want to do, just use a condom. And that doesn't even stop AIDS, folks.
But you see the darkness in the church. You see, I like to look at myself as a person that has lived between two ages. One was the age of purity, coming through the 50s, and then we stepped into the 60s, where people were really beginning to stretch out on the drugs and the sex and the Eastern religions and so on and so forth, and a great darkness came over the land, and it walked into our school systems and into our politics and into our churches. And so this darkness, it brought with it witchcraft into the churches. It brought the darkness of bewitching spirits that you will see over in Galatians. It brought with it free sexual experiences. It brought with it divorce. I remember when it was a blotch on a family if somebody got a divorce. And now more than 50% of Christians get divorces. And so the church is in great darkness. And the pastors, I know pastors personally that are on their fourth divorce. Their fourth divorce. And some of them are not only womanizing, but they're also going after the same sex. We have TBN, Crouch. I mean, it came out publicly 4 or 5 years ago that a man, that they had paid a chauffeur $400,000 to keep quiet about his affair with him. That was in Fox News. And then just recently, we saw Eddie Long up in Atlanta. Now, what was so disgraceful about that was that Eddie Long was molesting young boys. And it came out publicly that there were four or five of them. And whenever he came back into the pulpit without testifying of what happened to those boys or what happened to him, the congregation raised to their feet and shouted and cheered and clapped that pedophile. And so if you want to know what's wrong with our country is in grave darkness and under God's judgment. And our country is crashing into communism, and it's crashing into absolute occultism nestled right within the church systems.
Dr. Pat, it's so bad. We've got demons in the pulpit preaching. I mean, I'm looking right now at a photograph of a man many people have seen on TV. His name is Pastor Ed Young. Prominent minister, grapevine pastor. And I'll tell you my first experience is I turned on, it was either TBN or Daystar. And I sit there, and he's talking about big bedroom sex. He put a big four-poster bed on his church pulpit, cordoned off, and basically said, I want everybody in my denomination, congregation tonight, and those listening, to go home and have sex every night this week, and then we're going to talk about it. next service.
Mm.
It's come to the fact that, Dr. Pat, I don't even know what gospel they're preaching that out of. Jesus didn't go around and preach, let's have big bedroom sex, and they're doing it on the pulpits? No wonder these people are demonized and having adulterous affairs for 7 years. And they get up there and raise their hands and say, praise the Lord.
Yeah. They're teaching out of the Book of Shadows, which is the Satanic Bible. And, you know, Benny Hinn went over to Uganda. And while he was in Uganda, it came out that there were homosexual things going on over there with him and a very famous pastor out of Uganda, and that was why his wife left him. And it's up on the Internet. People can go search and look and find it.
Dr. Pat, they need to step down and sit on the bench.
They don't. They're not going to do that.
I mean, you know, it even happened to Jimmy. Jimmy Swaggart, many years ago. My grandparents knew of Jimmy in the early days, and we all know about his story. And what happened is he was part of the Assemblies of God. They said, you're going to have to abide by the same rules that any other pastor would. We want you to step down for a year. Mm-hmm. And what did he do? He basically said, I can't do that. I can't leave my organization. It'll fall apart. So he went interdenominational. Folks, there is no oversight anymore. You've got Paul Stanley. I think his wife left him. I don't know the whole – he's a divorced minister. I mean, they're divorcing. They're swapping wives and husbands. They say it's okay. What's going on here? It should not be. If you're going to pastor, you're supposed to be setting a standard. But if the pastor can go up and, you know, swap husbands and wives and go through divorce and, you know, not be disciplined, then it really says, well, if it's good enough for my pastor, it's okay for me. I'm not happy. I think I miss God, and I think God has someone better. We're just going to get a divorce. Paul White and Randy, I don't remember them ever admitting to any sexual pornea. I thought that was the only reason, Dr. Pat, that people were to get divorced. Other than that, they should remain separated. Am I off on that?
Well, you see, but you're looking at it from a Christian point of view. That's what they should do. But what they're looking at it from the point of view that it's a business. It makes them money. That's how they live. And some of them, that's all they know how to do is to get up and fake off with the people. The problem is they're not going to resign and they're not going to turn, because the Bible tells us that just before Jesus returns that there will be a great falling away. And I believe that we are in the falling away as I speak to you now. And so the problem is in Jude, you know, the book of Jude talks about these kind of people. And these are the same people that the Bible talks about, like wandering stars. Do you know what a star does? It breaks loose from magnetic field, and then it just goes off by itself, and it just wanders all by itself throughout the universe, and it's not connected in. Well, that's the way these pastors are, that, and these women are involved. Look at Paula White and Benny Hinn.
I will say you will know them by their fruits, and if they can't keep their own marriage together, Paul said, step down. You're not supposed to be in the pulpit, folks. If you cannot keep your marriage and your household in order, then step down. Because they're setting a bad example, Dr. Pat.
Okay,
they're saying it's
okay. Wait just a minute. Let me say something here. Somebody says, I know that Benny Hinn, this is what he said, I know I went to the meeting, I felt the power. Now, I'm going to have to tell you that there's two powers. There's the power of the Holy Ghost, and then there's a power called Kundalini, which is the snake cobra spirit. And that cobra spirit makes people feel good. It's called the Kundalini Awakening, and it gives them dreams, it gives them visions, it makes them feel good when it first comes in. But then, after they begin to engage with the Kundalini spirit, then the devil will turn on them, and they become sick or they become insane. I'm going to tell you something. The power that Benny Hinn works with, he said himself that he goes to Catherine Kuhlman's grave, he prostrates himself on her grave, and he said he feels the anointing. That is not the power of the Holy Ghost. I just have to tell you that it's not the power of the Holy Ghost. You don't get your power from prostrating yourself on somebody's grave. And what came of this testimony that he gave was that I personally know people that went to Catherine Kuhlman's grave, prostrated themselves on her grave, went to her ministry, talked somebody into letting them see her dress, that white dress she used to walk in, and they took a little piece of the dress without them knowing it. These are kind of things that Catholics do.
Dr. Pat, my father sat in Paula White's office before he died, and she said to my father, "How do you like my new breast?" He dropped her like a hot potato. Folks,
yes.
You're hearing this from an insider. Okay, she had a breast implant job. I'm not against that. But there was a spirit of lust. My father was so repelled, he dropped her as a client. And it is infiltrated the church. It's a gospel of money, sex, and power. That's
mm-hmm.
the common denominator with all these men and women that are televangelists. Money, sex, and power. That's what they are about. You don't hear about the blood of Jesus. You don't hear about the deliverance ministry. And you don't hear about, let's get prepared so that we're not part of the great falling away as persecution comes on this nation. We
mm-hmm.
know of a man who is in a communist country right now, Dr. Pat, or is actually headed there as we speak, where they will arrest you if you preach the name of Jesus or if you're carrying a Bible.
Well, do you know in Israel you can't mention the name of Jesus on the streets? Or if you're a foreigner, they'll put you on the plane, take you out of the country?
We have no concept whatsoever of what it means to be a Christian and be persecuted for Christ going to some of these mainstream churches because they don't preach it. They don't prepare us for it. I don't know what they're preaching. They're not preaching out of the Word of God. I mean, it's an abomination. It gets me a little bit riled up here. We should have probably called this show tonight, Where is the Standard, Dr. Pat, in the Modern Day Church? Where are the old landmarks?
Well, you see, what happened really is that they stole the Word of God right out of the church. They took the King James Version out, and then they began to put in the NIV, which is known as the Homosexual Bible, because the new version, by the way, has taken all gender references out of that one. They put the New King James Version in, and many of the Amplified Version and many others. And what they did is they took the word of men and women, replaced the Bible, the Word of God, and so the church has been dark for probably 20, 25 years now with all of the preachers preaching out of these perverted Bibles. And the people are not hearing the Word of God. That's one thing. And then the other thing that they've done is that they took and began to worship people as gods. TV, they became like rock stars, some of these ministers, and they worshiped them. I mean, if you get a man like Eddie Young that is a pervert and a pedophile, and he appears back in front of his church, packed out with people when he made his return, and before he has ever confessed, he comes on like somebody that's been abused by the media. Oh, poor little me. and they stand up and applaud that man, that means that his church and his congregation have all fallen under the power of his bewitchments. And friends, let me tell you something. This is why we name names. This is why we do this, because of the fact that if you don't tell the people the names, the people continue to follow these people. And Jesus said, if the blind leads the blind, they'll both fall into the ditch. Now, some of you have doubted the Benny Hinn thing. I'll give you the name of the pastor over in Africa. It's Kianja. Go look it up. But Paul, he talked about name and names in the Word of God in 1 Titus 1:20. He named Hananias and Alexander, and he went on to say, whom I have handed over to Satan in order to teach them not to dishonor God, to blaspheme God. Now, this is blasphemy, to stand before a congregation and present yourself as a holy person, and you're a wretched, you're in worse shape than the people that you minister to. Let me tell you something. These are going to be the ones that God will say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And that's going to happen at the judgment seat. Many of these people that have practiced rolling and mocking the body of Christ for their money, you're going to stand there shocked at the judgment seat as to who's real and who isn't real. And I'm going to tell you, the people that are real are the ministers of God that love you, that love your soul, and they're people not willing to take a chance on losing your soul to protect some dumb person that would go and lay on a woman's grave to get the anointing. Now, isn't that stupid? And I'm supposed to keep my mouth shut? You hate me because I'm going to tell you the truth? What's wrong with the people, Omega Man?
Well, that's necromancy. That's contact with the dead. Folks, when you're dead, you're dead. Your spirit leaves the body, it's over with. I can't grab an anointing out of a corpse.
Okay, now somebody just accused us as we're spending too much time fault-finding. I'm not fault-finding.
Folks, I have a problem with...
What we're doing here is we're telling you that the churches are filled with false prophets and demonology. And we're telling you that if you go into a place and there's a pastor that's in homosexual sin, in adultery, or whatever it is that they're doing, and you go up to the altar and you let that person lay their hands on you, you're going to get demon possessed. And not only that, but if you go in their meetings, you're going to get demon possessed. I personally have ministered to people that have gone to see Todd Bentley. And Todd Bentley, they just go into that man's meeting and the Kundalini spirit comes in. I've cast those spirits out of people, friends. And all they did was, out of curiosity, go over to see. If you go in a Mormon church, if you go in a Jehovah's Witness church, you're going to have deliverance just as seriously as if you went into a Satanist or witchcraft coven. That's what we're talking about. We're not fault-finding. We're trying to teach you about demonology and how you can stay free. And since there are people that are coming in pretending to be ministers of God who are in grave, dark sins, if you think that's fault-finding, you need to go read the Bible and seek God.
Folks, if there was a bridge out ahead and I knew it and I didn't warn you and you were on that route and I knew it and I did not pick up the phone and call you, and you went off that ravine, then I'm held responsible for that. We're trying to tell you that yet another example that a Christian can have a demon. I believe that many of these men and women that we've mentioned started out right. Satan laid a snare for them. Sex, money, power. They walked right into it. Maybe they embraced it when it was offered to them, and they never let go. And so just because you're a Christian does not mean you're not going to be tempted, or you cannot fall, or you're not susceptible to demonization. These are some very high-profile examples. And what is sickening is rather than people repent and get delivered, they keep perpetuating it, and they're pulling masses into deception, the spirit of deception. Many will be led away by this spirit in this last hour, and we're trying to warn you. You know, and I have a real problem, Dr. Pat, with any ministry that will call itself by its name.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the signs that I look for. You'll know them by their fruits. Well, many times I can judge a ministry just by the fact, who are they bringing glory to? Are they bringing it to themselves, or do they have a name? You know, I look at some of the true men and women of God out there. Michael Boldea, grandson to Demetri Dudeman. It's not called Michael Boldea Ministry. It's called Hand of Help. Jonathan Hansen. It's not called Jonathan Hansen Ministries, World Ministries International. Folks, look at the common denominator amongst all these televangelists. All of them that I have seen, their ministry is about them. It's always been about
mm-hmm.
them. It's about enriching
mm-hmm.
their pockets. And we even
mm-hmm.
uncovered the other day, and I'm going to find it before the end of the show, there's even a curse, folks, to support these ministries. And the rich man, when you give to a rich man, you basically have cursed yourself. That's not what God intended us to do. And so many say, well, you know, they must be successful. I watch their lives. They have everything that I want. They have the mansion. They have the Learjet, the riches. They have their own show. They must be doing the right thing. Let me give to them. And that's where the people are let in. I go over and survey the deliverance ministries, Dr. Pat, and there may be just a handful that come out on a Sunday morning to learn the Lord, to get deliverance. And if they come in and they do deliverance and they think, okay, well, I'm totally set free. I'm going to go back to where I got infected from. And yet I look at, even on the Facebook wall pages, some of these ministries, 40, 50,000 people. They're just, thriving off of this whole false message. And it's not all about the word faith, the prosperity. It's about, you know, sexual innuendos like with Ed Young that I just mentioned. You go check
mm-hmm.
it out for yourself. Tell me if that's becomely of a pastor, if that's the message that Jesus Christ came, to have big bedroom sex. And that kind of goes in with the story tonight, sexual magic. They are doing sexual magic from the pulpits, folks. And they are
yes.
disintegrating before our very eyes. Daystar, adultery. Benny Hinn, we have no idea why he's getting divorced. It better be for adultery. We don't know, but we saw him hand in hand with Paula White. Paula White and her husband. Divorce. No mention of adultery. Bishop Eddie Long, homosexuality. TBN. Folks, if this doesn't make you sick, I don't know what will. And we're saying that it should not be that way. The question is, what was the demonic gateway that they opened up in their life? It was something that slipped
money.
In. Money? Pornography?
Yeah.
I know of pastors right now that have been defrocked because of internet porn. When I was getting ready to get, let me back up. When I was exposed to the deliverance ministry, Doc, but I think I've shared this with you before. I was tempted in all three areas. I had a person call me out of the blue and tempt me with some money. They said, if you will join our organization, millions of dollars. We have a business idea for you. And I said, well, what is your organization? They told me they were engaged with the largest pornographic network on the internet. They wanted to take over an internet business that was selling an herbal product at the time that I was involved in. I had people call me out of the blue, sexual temptation. That's the way Satan works, folks. He has traps laid out there for you and I. He has laid them for others, and they've already fallen in them like quicksand, and they're going down.
Mm-hmm.
It's inevitable that you will be tempted in one of these major areas, sex, money, pride. What are you going to do when the temptation comes? We're trying to make you aware that there is sexual magic out there. There are witches and warlocks that are infiltrating church, and they've been sent in there to go after the pastor, to infiltrate maybe as a Sunday school teacher, and then ask for some one-on-one counseling, and that's how it happens. We know of deliverance ministers that went in, and they had a great revival, and then they went back to the hotel room, got a knock on the door. There was a half-naked lady waiting there for them at the door. They fell.
Yeah.
Folks, that's what Satan tries to do. He will bring you down any way he can. So we're trying to alert you to the dangers out there, the pitfalls that are going to come your way as you're seeking deliverance, okay, and so that you can be aware of them and sidestep them and go around them and not get trapped, because it's trapping masses out there. And then they watch these pastors and they think, well, if it's okay for them to do, I guess it's okay for me to do too. So, it's sickness, and we need to repent. They need to repent. It should not be.
Well, a lot of them are not ever going to repent. But the sad part about it, you say, why do you name names? Why do you tell what they do? Paul told you why he named Elymas and Hymenaeus, and he said that they blasphemed God. And the reason he made it public is to protect the cheap. In other words, what happens in our country is if somebody gets caught in adultery, they just leave that pulpit and move to another town. In the Catholic Church, they move the priest around like checkers. I've actually ministered to some of those kids, both grown and little kids that have been molested by priests. And these things are going on.
Oh, yes.
In fact, I ministered to a young boy. He was about 8. He was a little boy, was so demon-possessed that 3 or 4 men had to hold him down on the bench.
Wow.
And we don't hold men, grown men, down. And during the deliverance, it came out that he was being molested by the priest. And so after we ministered to the little boy, I looked at the grandma and I said, listen, you need to bring this little boy over here, and so we can get him stabilized. And she says, oh, she says, I can't leave my church. She says, I'm an intercessor there. She had just stood there and watched her grandson be delivered from child molesting spirits, but she couldn't leave her church. And I can tell you another one. There's a big church here in Jacksonville, and the ministers, the children's church ministers, came over to Miracle. They had 3 little kids with them. All 3 of the kids were demon-possessed. We ministered to those kids. The demons came out. And we said, well, you need to bring these children back because they need further ministry and encouragement and teaching. And they said, oh, we can't come back. We're head of the children's church over at that church. Friends, I have ministered in my ministry over the years to several different witches and Satanists that were teaching the children in the Christian church. Now, you want me to tell you about a woman?
And before,
that
yes,
I
do.
Okay.
Let me just give this verse out, folks. Why are we doing this? Because the word says to mark them. Romans 16, verses 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. That's what we're doing tonight. We're marking those that do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ and are deceiving the simple. And maybe some of you have been deceived. You will know them by their fruits.
Yes.
Go ahead, Dr. Pat.
Well, there was a woman that came. Actually, I was ministering in another county, and she came up, and she was dragging her leg as she came up, And I wasn't ministering in the deliverance ministry that night. I was ministering miracles. And so when she stood in front of me, the Lord spoke to me and said, do not pray for her healing. Just as clear as that. And so I just said a little prayer for her. And after the church service was over, we invited her to come and eat with us. And what she talked about was she had been a Satanist. And she had gone to a Christian church. And the reason she was at the Christian church is they were putting on a drama play. And when she went in, she sat right up front. And she went up to the altar when they called people to come up to the altar.
Yes.
And she just passed out unconscious. When she woke up, the people were standing around her saying, praise the Lord, hallelujah, she's born again. She didn't even know what happened to her from the time she went up and stood and blacked out. You can't get born again blacked out, my friends. But anyway, she started going to that church, and she started dating the piano player in that church. And they ended up getting married. And the first thing she did is she tried to get him out of the church, but he didn't want to leave the church because he played the piano there. So the next thing that she did, she was interested in drama, so she talked to the pastor and said, let me take over your children's church. He said, okay. She's a Satanist and goes into the children's church, okay? Well, nobody could see her. Nobody knew anything was wrong with her. And there's a Satanist teaching in the children's church. So I looked down at her foot, and her foot was twisted around backwards. She came over to our church, and after she had made that confession.
Yes.
And so I led her to the Lord, and I had her to renounce the powers of Satan. And then I took her foot in my hand and prayed and asked God to straighten it. And it felt like two hands, supernatural hands over my hand, and I felt him just take the foot and start turning it around. He turned it. It was totally backward, by the way. He turned it around, but he didn't totally make it straight. It was off just a little. And sometimes the Lord works like that in increments where he does a little this week and a little next week. So I didn't think anything about that. But we had cast the devils out of her. And I had her to pray. And she had an incubus spirit, a sex spirit, named Albert. And
wow.
Albert used to come and just get into the bed with her and her husband.
Oh, my goodness.
And he would get between her and her husband. So I had her to renounce Albert and his power, and she did. And then I took, what happened was Albert told her when she was in an automobile accident, he said, if you give me your foot, I'll heal it. She said, you can have my foot. And he took it in his hands and turned it backwards. And so what happened was, she came a couple of times, and she was in a suit and for money. And she had to go to the psychiatrist to get okayed to get the money. And I told her, I said, don't go to the psychiatrist. She went back to the psychiatrist. She came back to us the next week. She was in the same shape that she was in when we first started ministering to her. And what happened was, she said, when she went into the psychiatrist's office, as soon as she sat down, she said, Albert grabbed her foot, turned it around, and all these demons came swarming back into her, swarming. And so you have to be straight, you have to be honest, and you have to tell the truth. And then once you get delivered, you have to walk with Jesus. And the deliverance minister is just like your doctor at that point. You have to listen to them, and you have to do what they tell you to do. That's a true story. I had people in my ministry that were with me when that happened. They saw this woman.
Wow. Folks, that's happening out there. It's becoming more and more common. More and more deliverances we do, they all have a common denominator, sexual sin. It's starting in the pulpits, invading the congregations. You've got youth groups sleeping around. You've got youth pastors having sex with teenage minors. And it's just an infection. And I just put up a verse we found over in Proverbs, Dr. Pat.
Mm-hmm.
This is probably all I'll say on marking these people tonight. Proverbs 22, verse 16. He that oppresseth the poor to increase his riches, and he that giveth to the rich shall surely come to want. There are masses and masses, Dr. Pat, who are trying to model their lives after the TV evangelist. Not only do they follow their patterns of divorce, but they're also giving to these ministries, hoping that God will bless them, because surely God has blessed them. And all that has occurred here, folks, is the ministers have enriched themselves on the backs of the sheep. They've taken the widow's mite, they put it in their pocket, and they have become rich off the backs of the congregation. And these are rich men. I did an investigation the other day. One of them said that he's a billionaire, has about 30 oil wells, has his own private airport, about a fleet of, several planes, several Learjets, Warbirds, you name it. These are self-proclaimed rich men. I've heard them with my own ears. I'm worth $10 million. You know, praise God. And people are giving to the rich men, and they're not getting anything back. I get emails, but I give. I don't get anything back. Folks, Proverbs 22:16, it's a curse on anybody who gives to the rich man. That's not what God asked you to do. No wonder the deceit, it's going on untoiled, what's the word I'm looking for? Soil that has not been toiled. It's hardened ground. Your seed's going to die when you give into these ministries. So, yeah, so we're marking some of these tonight, but it's because there's so many mass people caught up in this deception out there. Trying to wake up a few, trying to tell people if you go down that road, the prosperity gospel road, where it's going to lead you. Probably into divorce and losing your soul. It's easier for a camel to enter into the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into heaven. And so again, I'm not coming against prosperity for someone who works hard, but you're not to become prosperous on the backs of the sheep as they do in the TV pulpits out there. I guess that's all I'll say about that tonight, Dr. Pat.
Well, that's true, and the Bible really does teach that if you plant your money on good ground, that's when you get a harvest. So these people that have been supporting these false ministers now for many years, the false ministers getting plenty rich, but the people that are plowing into their grounds are going broke. And so the Bible, it doesn't teach you not to give. It teaches you to be aware of where you give. And somebody asked me, well, how can I be sure that I'm not going to get deceived? I'll tell you the truth. If you will pray, if you just simply pray, the Bible says the Holy Ghost will lead you into all truth and teach you all things. In John, the book of John. And when I was a little baby Christian, I had come out of the edge of the occult, of reading occult books. And when I found Jesus, I was very frightened of getting demon-possessed again. And reading books is the way that I had gotten demon-possessed. And so what happened was I would go into the Christian bookstores, and I would pray, "Lord, protect me." And I'd reach for a book, and I would get a witness of feeling inside of my spirit. Don't get that. There were books that when I was a baby Christian, later on as I matured in the spirit realm, and the Lord had taught me Christian doctrine, and he had taught me to discern spirits and demonic ministries.
Yes.
He would take me back to the bookstore, and I'd pick up. He'd tell me to get, like Agnes Sanford is one. I wrote a book on inner healing. I wrote that book way back, probably 10 or 15 years ago. But when I matured enough, he took me back to the bookstore, and he told me, by every one of her books, I want to show you some things. So I bought her books and brought them home, and the Lord took me through her books, and I discovered that the woman had never been born again, and that she had actually gotten demon-possessed as a child when her parents were missionaries over in China. She had gone and sat in the lap of Buddha, and she said, "If you have any power, come in me." And she describes in one of her books that she felt something come into her. And then tracing that woman's life through her own writings, book by book, there was never a born-again experience. There was a religious spirit experience with an Episcopal priest where she just confessed her sins to him, but there was no born-again connection with Jesus. And there was a New Age experience where she had become born anew, rebirthed is what they call it. And so I wrote that because a lot of people were calling themselves deliverance ministries, but actually they're inner healing ministries. And so I exposed that ministry. It's up on my website. And by the way, you can also find Sexual Magic up there. PatHoliday.com, MiracleInternetChurch.com. There's a treasure house up there. You know, people write me all the time, and they say, "Pat Holiday, can you answer this? Can you do that?" And what they want me to do is go research something for them. And you see, I've already spent years of researching things. And the reason that I put together Miracle Internet Church is so that you can learn the things that I have spent years researching and the Lord teaching me. There are deliverance manuals up there. We talked about just lightly tonight about schizophrenia. There's a book up there called Chart Schizophrenia that explains schizophrenia and how it operates and what devils are involved in it. It talks about the altars and how they're not pieces of your mind, that they're actually devils that have been layered in there. Let me just tell you, because I know some people don't believe this because they've listened to false prophets, but the schizophrenic devil, whenever a handler, we call them, comes in and takes and is training somebody to be manipulated through devils, the way they do that is they traumatize the person. They'll take a little child and bury the little child in a grave with rats and snakes and and then dig them up a couple hours later. That little child is crazy and traumatized.
Yes.
And then what they do is they take that child is full of fear, and fear becomes the doorway into that mind and into that child's traumatized, scatters or shadows the mind into thousands of pieces. And then what happens is that handler or the controller, he or she will take that spirit of fear and they will open up like a piece of that mind. I call it like an avenue. Let me draw you a mental picture of it. If you live in a street, you live on 10th Street, well, all around you are streets, right? There's 7th Street, 9th Street, you know, so on and so forth. Well, you know where 10th Street is, and you're familiar with 10th Street, but you never go on 7th and 8th and 9th Street, so you don't know what's there. That's sort of how a schizophrenic mind would look. It's a place in the mind that's been fragmentized with the demon of, say, fear. The handler uses fear to layer in an altar. They call them altar spirits. And these altar spirits are like personalities. So the handler could layer in a personality of a Christian into this person. And he can layer the way a Christian acts, Christian verses, Christian talks. That person would have a spirit that likes Christian music. And then he could layer another personality in, say, a New Age personality. And that personality would have the personality and the lingo of a New Ager. Then he could layer in a murdering personality or a sexual personality. So you kind of get the drift of it. So the reason that a handler would layer these different personalities in is that handler would use those personalities for different things in that person's life. Let's say that the handler wanted the Christian personality, to go infiltrate a Christian church to make the pastor fall in sexual sin. He would call forth through a trigger or a code word, just like you do on a computer. You call forth with passwords. He would call forth the trigger word, and it would open up that Christian personality like a file. And he would say, now I want you to go over to First Baptist Church, and I want you to do this and that and cause that pastor to fall. That person would show up to our Baptist church, start attending the church, get next to the pastor, make that pastor fall. Now, the New Age spirit would operate the same way. They would infiltrate New Age communities. The murdering spirit, they could trigger that murdering spirit to go out and kill a person through a code word. So this is the way it operates. It is not a piece of a person's mind. It is demons operating in that mind. And you can take a person that has never actually been under a handler. What would happen is they could be living in a household with a mean daddy that traumatized them through sexual experiences or beating them. There are other ways to traumatize and put fear in someone than a trained handler. It's the spirit of fear. It's the spirit of trauma that opens the mind for demons to come flooding in. And so that's an explanation of schizophrenia in a little tight nutshell. But you can go up and get that book that I wrote, Charged Schizophrenia, and it would have all of the spirits and those explanations that I just gave you in more detail.
You know, a lot of it is also, I just kind of tie up some loose ends. It's about demon worship, folks. There are reported 1 billion people on this globe that call themselves Muslims who worship a demon. His name is Allah. Allah is a demon moon god. Okay? His prophet is Muhammad. Muhammad was involved in pedophilia. He was demonized. He even admits so in his own writings. And, you know, you as a believer in Christ would say, yeah, I agree. You know, they're worshiping demons. Well, you've got the Hindus. They worship several demon deities, okay, in the Hinduism religion. And the mainstream church is worshiping demons that are actually the ones talking through the people who have these international ministries. Okay, and you've got to be very careful, because if you're a member, or you know, you're one of their followers, okay, you're pulling in doctrines of demons. That is what you're feeding on. And so you've got to just be very careful, okay?
You know,
you listen to,
there's a guy that you minister with a lot by the name of Zoe.
Yes, ma'am.
What's his
Zoe. Mr. Joseph White, yes.
Okay, Joseph White, they led a young man to the Lord a couple of weeks ago that was involved in magic, card magic.
Oh, yeah.
I just wrote an article on that. It's up on Scrib, and it's over on remnantnetwork.org about what's wrong with cards and puppets and things. But they cast the demons out of that young man. The young man got free, and immediately the devil led him to this church. He told the pastor, he said, you know, I was a magician. I do card tricks and this and that. And the pastor said, great. We'll put you in charge of our children's church, and you can become the church magician. So that's kind of the kind of stuff that we're talking about, is pastors that are improperly trained, that do not know what witchcraft is or magic, many of them are trained in sexual initiations. Now, I'll tell you something. Zeph Daniels talks about that. Zeph Daniel. He talks about coming out of mind control from his family affiliations many years back. And he talks about going to this church, and some of the pastors got him off into a corner and approached him and told him that he needed to have an initiation. And it turned out that what the initiation was sodomy. And so just because they have a black collar on, a white collar on, and a black suit, or because they walk around with the biggest Bible in hand, you have to test the spirits, Jesus said. Test the spirit to see if they be of God. And one of the ways you can test that spirit is you can ask the person, did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? A demon will not confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Another way, you can bind the spirits and forbid them to attack you. When I go into a church meeting, I go in defensively, just as I'm walking in a hospital. I take authority over the spirits, and I command them that they will not speak to me. They will not prophesy over me. They will not touch me. And I can be sitting in a church and have these crazy divinators, they call themselves prophets, but all they are fortune tellers, walking up and down the aisles. They won't even look at me. but I have a perfect opportunity to watch them and watch how a religious devils operate. I went to a meeting several weeks ago, and a man all of a sudden got under the Kundalini spirit, jumped up off of his seat into the air about 3 feet, fell back on his back, and started swimming back like a backward swimmer.
Wow.
And a Kundalini spirit was knocking over all the chairs around, and the minister was up there divinating, prophesying over the people, pretending like she was like Benny Hinn floating across the stage, and didn't even notice that somebody had manifested in her meeting and was tearing the church apart. And I just got up and left. I said, you know, I just can't stand to see people demon-possessed and the ministers in charge of the meeting not knowing what to do.
You know, we can't afford to be ignorant.
Just a minute. Coughing out demons is not in the scripture, okay? What coughing out demons is measure of faith is if you have a cold and you have mucus down in your chest or in your belly, and that mucus starts coming up, you're going to cough. Well, people that are demon-possessed, and they've got sometimes it comes up with mucus, sometimes it comes up with all sorts of blood, all sorts of stuff. I don't want to get gory here. But when it starts coming up through the esophagus and it comes out of the throat, well, if you don't cough, what's going to happen? The person would choke to death. Isn't that logical to you?
Yes, you use that to help dislodge the phlegm, you know, the mucus.
Yes.
That gets it started. You go ahead and spit it out. I know many times if I've had a sinus infection and I just can't breathe, you get into the shower, you get in with some hot air, you know, moist air coming through the shower, it opens up the sinuses, and what do? You blow it out. If you don't blow it out, the mucus will stay in there and infection builds because it's lodging. So what coughing does is it helps initiate the process of getting the spirit out, which is pneuma. It comes in as breath. You've got to expel it.
Right.
And to expel really means forcibly. So that's what you're doing. You're getting the process going, and you're just, you know, you're in agreement. Hey, I want this thing out. I'm coughing it out. And that's one of the ways it'll come out. You may have a case of nausea, and if you're nauseous, don't hold it back, and you want that stuff out. What happens when you have a stomach virus and you lay around with a bellyache and, you know ultimately you're going to vomit? At least I know. I mean, I can tell hours ahead of time when I come down with a flu, and I'm just miserable. But the minute I expel that, okay, and get all that poison out of my system, and that's one of the reasons you vomit, your body's ejecting the poison, well, I feel so much better. It's like a load is lifted off of me. And you'll feel the same way when you expel a demon. So if you feel nauseous, just go ahead and let it go. They can come out any way they want. Yawns, burps, coughing, gas, screams. You know, so
listen,
it's just one of the many ways they come out.
We were ministering a couple of weeks ago to someone that had smoke come out of their rectum when they got delivered. Remember that? They come out all kinds of ways.
All kinds of ways.
And if you didn't have any manifestations when you got delivered, Michael, maybe you didn't get delivered. Have you thought about that?
That's usually the rule of thumb, folks. If there is no manifestation, you probably did not get delivered, and you want to keep on going. You know, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. Why do Christians need to be ashamed that they have a demon? Hey, get over it and get rid of it. Just, repent, close the gateway, and command it to go in Jesus' name. It's simple. And if you've got a really heavy stronghold, then go seek some brethren and let them lay hands on you and pray for you and cast it out, you know. You can do self-deliverance, and you can get deliverance from the brothers and sisters out there who are believers. What's the big deal? The big deal is hanging on to the stuff. I certainly, when I have a chest infection or a sinus infection, I don't want to hang on that mucus. I'm looking for the fastest way I can get it out so I can breathe clear. And
I've had them come out in the form of jellyfish. Cigarettes usually come out a lot of times, not all of the time, but a lot of times that way. I've had blood come out.
Oh, yeah.
I've seen just recently a big glob of blood came out of a person's rectum. Cancers come out
in
the form of looking like a white bag at times, or sometimes it comes out looking like foamy spit. All kinds of manifestations. We don't know everything, but I fear those that think that they do. And a lot of times when they think they know more than what they know, they're the most dangerous people walking on the face of the earth.
Well, this is my reply to them. How many deliverances have you done this year? If you have not done deliverances and you're not doing them on a regular basis, then take a seat and go to school, the School of Deliverance. Tune into these programs, learn, get into the Word of God, pray, seek the Lord, and when you've been in deliverance, then come back and talk. But right now, you're nothing but an armchair quarterback. You do not know of what you speak of. So we're not here to criticize people. We're doing the program to instruct people. Okay, so you can get the skills necessary, understand the keys of the kingdom that Jesus Christ has given you and I as believers, and then the goal is for you to go out and spread deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't go to war unless you went to basic training. You will die. The reason they put you through basic training
is the chat room is really not here to show how smart you are. It's here. It's really here to pray with the people and not to place doubt in people's hearts. If you want to do that, Michael, why don't you just go get your own program? Because I'm going to tell you, I listened to your testimony. And I know exactly where you are in the spirit, and it's not where you'd like people to think you are, okay?
Dr. Pett, can a Christian have a infected toenail or fingernail? You know, maybe they got a little bit of, they bit their nails, they have an infection, or, you know, what I'm saying is, sure they can, all right?
Yeah.
Can you have a bloody nose? Folks, can you have a cold? Sure you can. But you don't see it mentioned in the scripture. So does that mean a Christian can't have it? Come on. There's not enough ink in the ocean, the word says, to write all the things that Jesus Christ did. And so what you do is you learn this by practical application. Jesus cast out spirits. Get involved in it and you'll get up to speed really quickly on what is involved there. And that's one-third of Jesus' ministry.
That's right. It's not only experience, but it's a relationship with Jesus. And
well, absolutely. That's how demons come out.
You cannot learn about this through head knowledge. And, I mean, you know, somebody's on there saying, oh, he's done all this research and he knows. Well, let me tell you something, fella. I taught in the seminary 8 years. I have a PhD, a THD. I've written over 80 books on deliverance, have books that I've never put up on my website. And I'm not bragging to lift me up by any matter of means, but I will guarantee you that I have far more research under my belt than you do. So don't come on here picking a fight with me because you'll find one, okay?
I know it's not a measure of faith. It's a demon inside a measure of faith. And we bind and cage that foul spirit right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, loose the terror of the Lord on the foul spirits operating in that individual right now in Jesus Christ's name. Dr. Pett, we have just let time run on and we didn't even take a break.
It's also Michael on there.
Let's go to a break, folks. We'll be back in about 5 minutes. We'll open up the lines. If you need prayer, the number is 917-889-2745 or toll free 877-806-2482. And Dr. Patton, we've got a really big chat room tonight. I praise God for that. Give out your contact information for those that have not heard you speak before.
My webpage, patholiday.com, and miracleinternetchurch.com, remnantnetwork.org, and omegaradio.com.
Omegamanradio.com. Don't leave out the
Yeah,
man.
Thank you.
That's all I am, is just a man.
Yeah, you're a man.
Yeah, and listen, folks, we're bond servants for Christ. It's Jesus Christ who sets the captives free, and it's about your relationship with Jesus Christ that causes the demons to be expelled. And so praise God for everybody that is tuning in tonight. Let's go take a break, and we're going to be back with Dr. Pat, and we'll have open lines. Here we go.
Yes. Yeah.
you ready to take a ride? Grab your coffee and strap yourself in. If you listen, you can hear God's plan. It's the show that everybody's talking about. Tune in each Sunday to the Omega Man Radio Network with your hosts, Shannon Ray Davis and Dr. Pat Holliday. We're invading enemy territory for Jesus Christ. Join us as we expose the new world order and teach you how to survive what's coming and endure till the end. Tune in to Omega Man Radio.
And we're back to a live program, Omega Man Radio Network, with Dr. Pat Holliday, the School of Deliverance. And, you know, people say, well, you know, if you could change things, what would you want to see on television? Folks, what I want to see is Jesus Christ preached, the blood of Jesus that saves men, sacrifice he made for you and I. You don't hear that much. That should be the center focus of every message being poured out of these ministries on television to the masses. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Deliverance from devils in the name of Jesus Christ that can set men and women free. I would challenge you, go to your televangelist that you support and tell them, look, I'm battling with a foul spirit of lust or rage. I have a demon. I need help. They'll probably hang up on you, or they'll tell you to go see Dr. Phil or a psychologist and get on psychotropic drugs. They just don't know what you're talking about. They have no concept. I want to see deliverance preached, and I want to see preached. It's time to endure, prepare ourselves to endure till the end, because persecution is coming on the American church. And the reason we're sounding the alarm is to wake up the masses out there who are getting ready to be prepared to be part of the great falling away. I'll have to stand before God one day if I did not shout the alarm and say, wake up. Leave those churches that are not preaching Jesus Christ, that are not preaching deliverance, that don't believe healing miracles are for today, that do not believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for today, and are telling you that you're going to be raptured out of here before any persecution hits the church. I'll say it again. There is a man going into a communist country. He's either there right now or he'll be there in the next probably 24 to 40 hours. It's so bad where he's going that if you preach Jesus Christ and they catch you, they will lock you up. You probably will not be heard of again for 20 years or more if you survive. It's coming to America, my friends. They did not get raptured out before the persecution comes. I'm not going to debate, is it middle of the trib? Is it post-trib? One thing for sure is persecution is coming. Jesus said, they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And you don't hear that. I had a lady challenge me the other day. She's 80 years old. She says, I've been supporting one of the ministries since, you know, day one. And she says, I want a public apology on international radio. She says, I support this man, and I support another man named Henry Groover. And I said, really? Henry Groover? Well, we've got something we share in common. I believe he's a true man of God. And he saw the destruction coming on this country. He saw the persecution that was coming, and he's sounding the alarm. And he's doing something about it. He's doing prayer walking. He's going out and he's taking authority over strongholds. He's raising the alarm about demonic forces and the fact that we need to engage in spiritual warfare and take territory back for Jesus. I said, I don't hear the other guys saying that. They're not even in the same league. She never wrote me back because it's true. Nobody is preaching, wake up. Let's call sin, sin. Let's repent. Let's get set free of demons. And then let's go out and evangelize. It's not about living the best life you can now, getting your reward here on earth, as Benny Hinn has said. It's up on YouTube. It came out of his own mouth. God hasn't called us all to be billionaires. If you're truly as prosperous as the televangelists want you to be, you probably won't make it in. It's easier for a rich man to enter into the eye of a camel, a camel to go into the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into heaven. Okay, and if God does entrust riches with you, and you can use them as a tool to feed the poor, help the widows, help the orphans, bless Israel, support the deliverance ministry, then I'd say praise God. But that's not what people are doing. They're lavishing it on themselves. That's their end goal. So that's why we're raising the alarm, because trouble's coming, my friends. It's happening in other countries. It's going to happen here. And what is going to happen when trouble knocks on your door in the form of your child manifesting? Someone in your family saying they want to commit suicide. Will you be able to recognize it for what it is, a foul spirit, know how to cast it out in Jesus' name? Will you be able to tell your children, look, some times are coming that are going to be very hard, but you've got to maintain, you've got to keep the faith. That's what Jesus said. You cannot be offended for the persecution that's coming. Patience and the faith of the saint is the only way to get out of this scenario. That's what we're trying to prepare people for, to endure till the end, till Jesus calls you home. If we get out of here early, then praise God. But again, trouble's coming to this land. It's coming to the whole world. It's already started, and we need to be prepared to endure, or we're going to be part of the great falling away like the masses that I tried to witness to the other day on Facebook. And it was just like, you know, they're zombified. They cannot hear what you're saying. Their ears have been closed. So let's get Dr. Pat back on the line. We've got lines lighting up. If you need prayer tonight, number is 917-889-2745, 877-806-2482. Dr. Pat, are you back?
I'm right here.
All right, let's take our first call. Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Pat. How are you tonight? There you go. Can you hear us? Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Pat. Okay, we'll go to the next caller. Stand by. Caller, you're on the air with Dr. Pat Holliday.
Hi, is this me?
Yes, it is. How are you tonight?
Hi, I've only been listening to you guys for a week, but how do I access the chat room?
What you want to do is you go to blogtalkradio.com /Omega Man Radio. And
okay.
If you go there, you'll see the current show in play. And if you click on that, it'll ask you to create a username and a password. And it's free. Just create one and you can go right into the chat room.
So this isn't the Upstream TV chat room?
No, this is it's part of the Blog Talk Network. We can hold
I went to Upstream TV channel Omega Man.
Oh,
I signed on there, but no one's
Ustream.
There.
Okay. No, that's it. No, that's not active yet.
Okay.
Go to blogtalkradio.com/Omega Man Radio.
Okay, I will try that. Great.
There you go. Thank you for tuning in.
This is an awesome show you got going. I heard you on Steve Quayle, too, and he calls you Bruce. Is your name Bruce or Shannon?
Yeah, it's a long story. I tell people to go listen to the archive I did with Steve Bell. My birth name was Shannon Davis, and I changed it to Bruce Lee back when I was in my early 20s. I was working for the military. I used to be confused as being a girl all the time. You know, what can I say? My dad gave me the name in 69, you know, and then everybody decided to call, you know, Shannon as, you know, for their daughter. So, you know, I struggled with that. It had got to be
That's
a
funny.
Real pain in the butt. And then I had an issue with my father, and unfortunately we didn't talk for a couple years, you know. I was in the wrong, and so I repented, and it is what it is. So that is my legal name, but I'm going back to my birth name. God's restoring the name. And, you know, we all do stupid things when we're younger, so that was one of the stupid things I did. I happened to also be a martial artist at the time, and I've had to get some deliverance over that because I was a real big Bruce Lee fan back then. That's another
That's
story. Yeah, so, hey, I'll be the first to tell you, we all do goofy things sometimes. But, yeah, I go by Bruce or Shannon. Just don't call me Raul.
Well, I find this show really interesting. I came out of Exodus Ministries kind of as a dropout flunky. And do you know what Exodus Ministries is?
Isn't that the ministry that pulls homosexuals out?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And I was involved with them for a few years, and so to listen to you, it's like, wow, because they never touched on anything really in the demonic realm. It was all like kind of like psychotherapy, you know, going at the roots of homosexuality through, you know, a different approach. So This is cool.
Well, you know, Jesus Christ is cool because he sets the captives free. You know, we don't have to be tormented anymore. Some people spend their whole lives being tormented, and, you know, they don't achieve what God intended them to do and to be happy, you know, have fruitful lives. And it's because, you know, things that we've opened the door to are generational sins. And so we're just trying to educate people that demons are real, and that is what is tormenting us, but we can be set free in Jesus' name and live victorious lives for Christ.
Right on. Right on. Well, I will keep listening, and maybe I'll call in another time. Thanks, you guys.
Well, thank you for calling in. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Okay, we'll go to the next caller. Caller from 867 area code, you're on the air with Dr. Pat.
Hi.
Hey there, how are you tonight?
I'm good.
All right. What can we do for you tonight?
I just wanted to ask you guys to pray for me. Pray for my situation, I guess I should say. I don't want to hold you guys up too long.
No, we're here. We're here to pray. Tell us what's going on.
Okay. Well, I got called in to go down to about 2,000 miles away. And what happened was I used up all my rent money, and now I'm 10 days behind, and I just need prayer for that. That's all I'm asking for.
Absolutely.
Okay.
We'd be honored to pray. Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we lift up this sister and we lift up everybody out there right now, Father God, going through a hard financial time. Father, some people have lost their homes. Some people have lost jobs. Some people are looking for where the rent money is going to come from or where the groceries are going to come from.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, I know in the Word it says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor the seed begging bread. And we need a miracle for this sister calling in tonight. She needs a financial miracle.
Yes,
so right now we take authority over any foul spirits that would be attacking her income. We break any hexes and vexes and curses and spells off of her. Any witchcraft that has been sent against her, we bind it away from her in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
We rebuke the devourer. We rebuke the spirit of poverty. We're asking God that you would loose a financial blessing on her, that she'll be able
to pay
the bills that she needs to pay. We ask God that you loose angels to create opportunity and open up new doors of opportunity for her in the name of Jesus Christ. Apply the blood of Jesus to her. We ask God for a hedge of protection, a wall of fire of the Holy Spirit to surround her in accordance with Zechariah 2 and 5. We ask God for a blessing on her. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Amen.
God bless you, sister.
Thank you. I'm from the Northwest Territories.
Are you in, Canada?
Yeah.
Oh, praise God. We have a lot of Canadian friends. And there's two good ministries in Canada that we know of. We got Pastor John Franklin, who we have on the program. And we also have Brother Joseph Jasinski.
I never heard of those ones.
Go back and look in the archives. And we have Brother Franklin on every week. And we're going to have Brother Jasinski back very soon. He's just coming back from a crusade recently. And so two very good ministries I can recommend in the Canada area.
Okay. All right. What's the other one?
Joseph Jasinski and Pastor John Franklin.
John Franklin.
And if you go to megamanradio.com, I've got some links to their ministries right there.
Okay, I'll do that. Yeah, I have two jobs. It's just that I used up all my money because this lady said I had to go and sign papers in person in order for me to get some money for my dad. And while I was there, they canceled everything. They canceled all the meetings, and I used up all my, I thought I would, you know, get something. And the Lord has blessed me with a job, so I'm good on that. And just that I used up all my paycheck to go down in person. So that's where I'm at.
Send me your, email me with your contact information. Email me to Shannon@OmegaManRadio.com. Shannon@OmegaManRadio.com.
OmegaManRadio.com?
Yes, ma'am.
Radio.com. Okay, I got it.
God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you guys, too.
Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome. Bye.
And, folks, if someone is out there listening and the Lord is leading you to help this sister, get in contact with me, and I'll put you in touch with her tonight. Let's go to the next caller. Caller 817 area code. You're on the air with Dr. Pat.
Hey, Omega Man, it's Wayne Nixon calling.
Hey, how are you tonight?
All right. I guess it's the favor of the Lord. I got on. I just spoke with Minister Joe White, and he said he was going to hop on the queue, too.
oh, praise God. Yes.
Amen.
And, but,
his friends call him Zoe.
yes.
good man.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yes, we've been brothers for about 23 years now, and, you know, I'm just calling in for prayer, man. I'm here down at Key Ministry over in Euless, Texas.
Oh, yes.
And,
yes. Pastor Steve Bell. That's right, yes.
Yes, yes, sir. And I know you guys are doing a lot of awesome things. Joe's always admonishing me with the testimonies of what God's doing over the air and by his spirit. And, you know, so I'm calling to encourage you also that, you know, I'm seeking the Lord for a breakthrough. It's a deliverance ministry, so obviously I have issues of rejection, abandonment, that I want God to free me and set me from every unclean spirit, a breakthrough in my finances. So I'm calling in for the fervent prayers of righteous men and women to come together and believe God and agree with me for God's will to be done. So,
Dr. Pat,
why do you have rejection? What do you think you are rejected?
Well, you know, my mom didn't want me when I was younger.
Yes.
Because it interfered with her music career.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, I guess from that time on, I suffered a lot of abuse when I was growing up, verbal and physical. And so I think a lot of the time that I struggle with the fear of not being accepted or not being loved by the Lord, even though I know his love is sovereign and perfect, pure.
Is your mom still alive?
No, she's gone away to be with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay, now let me tell you something that I've over the years ministered to many people who have been rejected by their moms or their dads, and it takes a terrible toll on that person all of their life, because the mom is really the closest person in the world to that human being. And what has helped when I minister to these people is that they have to look at their parents, that the thing that rejected them was not their mom, it was not their dad, but it was the spirits inside of them. And when you separate the flesh from the spirit that way, it helps you to overcome the rejection. Because demons are placed in families for the purpose of making the other purpose fall and to take them to hell, actually. It's not the mama and the dad. It's what's in them. Over the years, I've ministered to people that, let's say, were heroin addicts or cocaine fiends or whatever. And they get saved, they come home, and the parents don't like them like they are saved. They'd rather have them filled with devils, drinking and drugging, than to have Jesus. So it shows you that that parent is not controlled by their own emotions or something like that. It's demons. So this is what I want you to do. Pray with me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I forgive my mother.
I forgive my mother.
And my father.
And my father.
I ask that you forgive them too.
I ask that you forgive them too.
Is your father alive?
Yes, he is.
And save his soul.
And save his soul.
I know that that wasn't them that did that to me.
I know that wasn't them that did that to me.
Satan, I know that it was you.
Satan, I know that it was you.
And I'm not going to take the hurt anymore.
I'm not going to take the hurt anymore.
I know that God the Father loves me.
I know that God the Father loves me.
The Son, the Holy Ghost.
The Son, the Holy Ghost.
And my brothers and my sisters.
And my brothers and my sisters.
And I am loved.
And I am loved.
And you can never make me feel isolated ever again.
And you can never make me feel isolated ever again.
Because I am loved.
Because I am loved.
And besides that.
And besides that.
I am in a new family now.
I am in a new family now.
It's the family of God.
The family of God.
And I am received by the Father.
And I am received by the Father.
The Son and the Holy Ghost.
The Son and the Holy Ghost.
Now, you devils of abuse.
Now, you devils of abuse.
I bind you.
I bind you.
I command you to get into the cage.
I command you to get into the cage.
I bind the devils of verbal, physical, mental, and emotional abuse.
I bind the devils of verbal, physical, emotional, and mental abuse.
And I command every area of my life to be healed.
And I command every area of my life to be healed.
That you have destroyed.
That you have destroyed.
My mind.
My mind.
My body.
My body.
And my spirit.
And my spirit.
Now, just wait just a minute. If there's anybody listening and you've got the same type of a problem as this gent does, you do the same things that he does. Open your mouth, let the spirits come out, cough, breathe out, and forgive your mother and your father or whoever hurt you, and you'll be healed and made strong. So now, as I press these spirits, you just agree by coughing. And let them go, and we're going to pray for you to be free from rejection. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. You spirit of rejection, we bind you up in the name of Jesus. He's not rejected, and he's not going to take it anymore. We bind up all abuse, controlling spirits, hate, adultery, rebellion, condemnation, sexual sin, anger, stress, separation, guilt, withdrawn, shame, humiliation, jealousy, condemnation, mental torment, torture, rejection. Omega Man, you call those out.
We bind you, come out of him right now in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord rebuke you, and we bind the strong man and gatekeeper in you right now. All you foul spirits just named, we bind you and command you to come out of him right now in Jesus' name.
Everyone.
Lord, rebuke you.
Everyone.
You foul spirits, be weakened
Take
right now
deep
in Jesus Christ's name.
Cough them
come out.
Out.
Loose
Let
them
them
out.
Go.
Come out right now.
Let them go.
In the name of Jesus. The Lord, rebuke you, you foul spirits. We command you to come out of him right now in the name of Jesus. Get into the cage, you foul spirits.
Okay. We cut all the roots. We cut the roots of unforgiveness and bitterness.
Come out. In
and
the name
rejection
of Jesus.
And rebellion.
Loose and let him go right now.
And we command
you foul spirit, I bind you. Come out of
him
in the name of Jesus.
Everyone.
Get in the cage. Lord,
everyone.
Rebuke you. Be weakened in Jesus' name. Be weakened in Jesus' name, you foul spirits.
I don't
cut
hear
any connectors.
You coughing. I don't hear anything. Are you, what's going on?
How you feeling?
Oh, I had the phone away from the. I had it. I was laying it down while I was standing up.
Oh. Oh. Are you coughing him out?
Actually, I was crying just then.
Oh,
that's good.
Okay.
Come out that way too.
You know what that is? That's the Lord healing your emotions.
Praise God.
And what you have is something called a wounded spirit. And the Bible says a wounded spirit who can bear. It really is a tormenting thing. And so let's give God a praise offering before we go on.
Yes.
And just thank him for healing your wounded spirit.
Thank you, Jesus.
Just raise your hands and praise him.
Praise God.
Praise.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Lord, I bless
God. Loose ministering spirits to him in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. I glorify
amen.
You.
Loose ministering spirits
amen.
In Jesus' name.
You're worthy, Lord. You're holy.
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen.
I bless your name, Father. I give it all to you, Lord God. I bless
okay.
your name, Father.
Okay, let's go
you,
on with the rest of these little ferments. We bind up the spirit of belittlement. This man belongs to Jesus, and after this ministry, he's going to find just exactly how much he is worth, and his soul was worth it all because Jesus died on the cross for him.
Yes.
So you can torment him no more. He is not a little. No one needs to pity him, and he doesn't need to pity himself. So we bind up this spirit of belittlement, unworthiness, fatigue,
come out in the name of Jesus. All
worry,
spiritual rejection, come out.
Forgiveness,
come out of him in Jesus' name. Loose and let him go. Loose and let him go.
Self-deception,
right now. Come out. Come out.
Sadism,
come out.
Masochism, fear,
loose
alcohol.
And let him go. Right now, we bind you.
Did
spirits.
You ever have any problems with alcohol and drugs?
I used to be a big pothead.
Okay. Say, Father, I repent.
Father, I repent.
And every one of those sorcery devils and witchcraft.
Every one of those sorcery devils of witchcraft.
I bind you up.
I bind you up.
And I command you to get out of me now.
And I command you to get out of me now.
Take a deep breath and blow him out. Come out.
Come out of him. Marijuana, come out. We bind you. All foul spirits that came in through drugs, come out. In Jesus' name, we rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Loose and let him go. Come out of his lungs right now in the name of Jesus.
How
come
about
out.
Cigarettes? How about cigarettes?
Yes. It still plagues me today.
Now, are you still smoking?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Are you willing to give that up?
Yes, I am.
Do you have any on you?
Yes.
All right. Take them and throw them on the floor and jump up and down on them.
You're going to get set free tonight, brother.
Now, I want you to look at him and say this. You are not my friend.
Sorry. I had to get him.
Say, you are not my friend.
You are not my friend.
You want to kill me.
You want to kill me.
But I no longer want to die.
But I no longer want to die.
I'm living for Jesus.
I'm living for Jesus.
And you cannot make me depressed.
And you cannot make me depressed.
And you cannot make me reject myself ever again.
And you cannot make me reject myself ever again.
And I'm not dependent on you for comfort anymore.
And I'm not depending on you for comfort anymore.
You cannot calm my mind or my nerves.
You cannot calm my mind or my nerves.
And you cannot give me cancer or emphysema.
And you cannot give me cancer or emphysema.
And I command you to go into the cage, you spirit of Calmage.
I command you to go into the cage, you spirit of Calmage.
And all that are connected to you.
And all that are connected to you.
And in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me, Lord.
And in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me, Lord.
For serving another God.
For serving another God.
Called Calmet.
Called Calmet.
I bind him up.
I bind him up.
I cut all of his cords to me.
I cut all of his cords to me.
And I command the spirits of habit.
And I command the spirits of habit.
Dependency.
Dependency.
Lust.
Lust.
Disobedience.
Disobedience.
Impurity.
Impurity.
And I command all of these devils.
And I command all of these devils
to get into the cage.
Get into the cage.
And the spirits of heredity.
And the spirits of heredity.
Familiar spirits.
Familiar spirits.
Paranoia.
Paranoia.
Anxiety.
Anxiety.
Neurosis.
Neurosis.
Breakdown.
Breakdown.
Madness.
Madness.
Tormented memories.
Tormented memories.
Twisted confusion.
Twisted confusion.
A dementia.
Dementia.
Lying.
Lying.
Self-deception.
Self-deception.
Stupidity.
Stupidity.
And malfunction of nerves.
And malfunction of nerves.
Now you get into that cage and come right out of me right now.
Now you get into that cage and come out of me right now.
You have no authority.
You have no authority.
I rebuke you.
I rebuke you.
And I command you to go to the feet of Jesus.
And I command you to go to the feet of Jesus.
Take a deep breath and cough them all.
Come out of him right now.
All
come
that
out.
Rebellion.
Nicotine addiction. Come out. Out. Come out of
go
him.
Go with
Jesus
every
name.
Bit of it.
Can't find you. Come out. Loose his lungs and let him go.
Spirit of
Jesus
nicotine,
name.
Come out.
Come out. Come out.
Come out.
Get out of him
every
and go in the cage, you foul spirits, in Jesus Christ's name. Loose and let him go.
Not one can stay, I'm telling you. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling better.
You're feeling better, huh?
Yeah.
Amen. Well, what I want you to do is to ask the Lord to fill you with the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah. Father God, I ask you to fill me, Father, with your Spirit, Lord. Fill
from
me,
the
Lord.
Head to the feet.
From the head to
raise
the feet.
Your hand up and start praising him. And we
Hallelujah.
Command the rest of those devils to be burned out.
Yes, Jesus. Come out in the name of Jesus.
Ora hosso ora shani ora dora 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 onto tora I katora mamantari asso ora sori a diamantoro dore e adokura baisa tora I dare adokura.
Curses sent against him in the name of Jesus.
Now, what you're hearing in his prayer, he's praying in the spirit right down from the center of the depth. And he's pouring out all those hurts to the Holy Ghost that he bore all of those lifetimes. And he'll be crying. He'll cry. He'll laugh. He'll just feel the power of God just sweeping over him right now. And God will heal. He's feeling his emotions. Heart. And he'll stand up a great man of God. Strong. Breathe over him in the name of Jesus. We release the mighty love of God and the love of the body to just wash over him right now from his head to his feet. Amen. What he's feeling also is he's probably feeling the first time in his life love. Is that right, sir?
In a while, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you've had the kiss of God right on you tonight.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And all of those devils got to go to the feet of Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
Glory,
let the
glory.
Word of God just pour into you.
Hey, brother, I wanted to ask you while you're on the line, how is Brother Steve Bell's wife doing? I know she was battling from some parasites. Any updates on that?
Well, she still needs the brethren to just lift her up and break those things, you know, because they're powerful strongholds. And
Wait a minute. Let's pray for her. Let me tell you something. There is no germs. There's no worms. There's no parasites. There's nothing stronger than the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And so they may be receiving that. And that might be the words that a doctor has said over her. Oh, these are powerful. They're hard to get rid of. The name of Jesus is very, very powerful.
Amen.
And so the three of us are going to come into one accord. And we're going to take authority over those parasites. And we're going to kill them in the name of Jesus. And by the authority of the blood. You germs, all you are little bitty devils that can't be seen except with a microscope. We take authority over you and we command everyone to get into the cage immediately now. And we break your powers and we curse you. We command you, every one of you, to die. You cannot cling to any life in Jesus' name. And by the authority of the blood of
Jesus,
we plead the blood of Jesus over her belly, over her digestive surface, over her bloodstream. Every place is her, we plead the blood.
And you
command those things to go to the feet of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
It released life and life more abundantly over her instantly and immediately in Jesus' name.
Pour the blood of Jesus down her mouth right now. Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Loro cobra e tutani mentucura me betalina sucura de dubati. Caro uroso, urosa datira ma sucura degi. Loose in the name of Jesus. Loose her in the name of Jesus.
Thus saith the Lord, I am the Lord thy God that healeth thee, saith God.
Hallelujah.
And there is no spirit in the universe stronger than my name. I have shed my blood for you, my beloved, and just speak my name and plead your cause to my throne, saith God. I have healed you 2,000 years ago. Just receive it and know that I am able to do above all that you can even think of. And my word tells you that by my stripes you are healed. Receive it, daughter. Receive it into your vessel, for I shall make you whole. I am not a man that I can lie. Just receive my word. Reject the words and the curses that have been spoken over you, and you shall see my power and my glory, saith the Lord thy God.
Hallelujah. Glory to you.
Praise Jesus. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Bless your name, Father. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want to thank you for calling in tonight, brother, and looking forward to hearing the praise report from Sister Bell tonight.
Amen.
Tell Brother Bell that we prayed tonight and there's a breakthrough.
And tell him that God gave her a prophecy.
Amen. I will pass that on as soon as I see him in the morning. And I just want you guys, brethren and sister, to agree with me for a financial breakthrough, you know, and all that comes with that. I know that the Lord's faithful. And I have a car that I need to get on the road and work and all that needs to happen. So I don't know how the Lord wants to do it and what his plans are, but if I can get you to just agree with me that the Lord's favor would just overshadow me and, you know, his blessings would just break through, you know.
Amen.
Yes,
Brother Omega.
Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we lift up this brother. We break any financial curses that have been spoken or put against him in the name of Jesus. Any hexes and vexes, spells, bewitchments, psychic prayers, we break it off of him in the name of Jesus Christ. Send it back to where it came from. In the name of Jesus, Father God, and loose a financial blessing for him. Whatever is impairing that car from being on the road, we bind it in the name of Jesus Christ and command it to be loosed. We're asking God for a healing touch on him.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name, of his finances, God. Go ahead, Dr. Pat. You pray.
We take authority over Bozia, over all of our cars.
Yes.
And the things that work mechanically, our computers, everything in our house. And in the name of Jesus, we engage that devil over all of our equipment and machines.
Hallelujah.
And we command it to get out.
Hallelujah.
In the name of Jesus.
And we ask God that you send your financial angels and your mechanical angels and that you will heal the things that you have given to us. In Jesus' name,
amen.
It's the angels, God, that open up doors of opportunity. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Hallelujah, amen. Well, I thank you, beloved, for agreeing and standing with me, and I definitely will be getting back to you with the testimony of what God's doing and manifesting in my life. And I just speak blessings and power and favor and peace and grace into your lives as well, for not only this evening, but, you know, whatever the future holds in the Lord's eyes for you. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. God bless you. You're listening to Omega Man Radio Network. We've got Dr. Pat Holliday tonight, School of Deliverance, every Saturday night at 8 p.m. And then Sunday nights, we get together for prayer meeting, the International Intercessory and Warfare Prayer Program. And that's at 8 p.m. Sunday nights, Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific.
Tell them about the communion next week.
Oh, yes. We're going to do that next week, correct?
I think so, yes.
Yes, in fact. You want to do that Saturday or Sunday night? What is your preference?
We'll do it at the prayer meeting Sunday night.
Okay, so folks, that would be Sunday, December the 19th. Mark your calendars. We're going to be doing a live communion, Dr. Pat?
Yes, and they have to get their own little elements of the bread and the wine.
Oh,
and,
awesome.
Yeah.
We've never done that before. That'll be cool. Praise God.
Yeah, Marshall Perot is going to come, and He's been doing a lot of studying on communion.
Oh,
and
praise the Lord,
we're
going to
do this periodically.
Yes.
Because communion works hand in hand with deliverance.
Yes.
Many times when we are after a tough deliverance at our church, we do a communion. So Marshall's going to come. He's told me that he will. And he's a wonderful man of God, full of the Word of God, and he's just a precious person. He's like Jonathan. You're just going to fall in love with him when you hear him. He's been on with us once before where we were praying together with him. You're just going to like that. But I just felt led that we needed that in this program, because of the fact that this is a deliverance ministry. And, you know, the Bible warns us if we take communion unworthily that it can cause problems in our life.
Yes, ma'am.
And if it can cause problems in our life, if we take it as holy men and women of God, I believe that it can heal our bodies too, heal our spirits.
Amen.
So that'll be next Sunday, right?
Sunday, December 19th, 8 p.m., and what you want to do is you can go to most of the grocery stores and go over to the kosher section. They'll have like these little boxes of like King David unleavened bread. If someone can't find unleavened bread crackers, what else is acceptable, Dr. Pat?
Well, just plain bread.
Just regular bread, right?
Yeah, he broke bread, and it was, I believe it was real wine, but You do what you want to. You can drink grape juice if you want to. But, you know, Jewish doctor that I know had a big fight with Danny Drake, my pastor, many years ago. And that Jewish doctor says, Danny, you'll never convince me that they drank grape juice at a Jewish wedding.
Folks, it didn't exist. It was wine. Jesus turned the water into wine. Come on.
But I believe that we have to be very careful that we just don't go out and just start getting drunk on wine. That's not what we're talking about. Just a little tiny bit of wine and a little, or if you want grape juice, we don't care.
No,
I'm sure God will receive that. But
sure.
Let's just come prepared,
yes.
And he's going to teach us on it, and then we're going to do communion, and I'm just excited about that.
Amen. I see in the chat room, pita bread's fine, bread, matzah, whatever you want. Wine, listen, Jesus turned the water into wine. I'm not advocating becoming an alcoholic. The word says, drink not to the redness of the eye. Noah planted a vineyard and drank wine. Jesus turned the water into wine, and they said, you've saved the best for last. Normally, you bring the best first, and when people are drunk, they bring the diluted stuff. It wasn't great.
You know, I took it one time. My stomach got upset and
yes,
nothing
ma'am.
Seemed to help. And the Lord spoke to me and said, just take a little glass of wine. And it says that in the Bible. So
Paul
I did,
that.
And it immediately helped my stomach. And I told my little Church of God pastor that I had done that. And he said, are you sure Jesus spoke to you? Yes, I'm sure Jesus did speak to me, I
Amen.
Said.
Amen.
And so... You know, we just have to be, if a person like a person that's had problems with alcohol, as David just wrote.
Yes, ma'am.
They should probably drink grape juice.
Yeah, get some
you
grape
know,
juice
you
in a little bottle.
You have to use your mind. God didn't born us zombies
sure.
when we became Christians. He said, use your mind. And if that would be a temptation to somebody that used to be an alcoholic.
Sure.
Use grape juice. God,
Amen.
God blesses what we do, you know?
Amen. Praise God. I mean, it's Jesus commanded us to do communion. You know what? We need to do this more often. This will be awesome to do that. I don't know that it's ever been done over an internet radio program before. And you can...
Yes, Zeb Daniels used to do it every now and then.
Well, praise God for Zeb. Amen.
They just seemed
yes.
to love it when he did that. I love Zeb.
Yes. Well, I do,
but,
too. In fact, we've had him on the show. We're going to have him back again. Praise God for Brother Zeph out there and his wife. And you know, and communion will be, that'll be pretty cool. We can do it internationally. I will tell you a true story. My mother was in India and ate something over there that she picked up a worm. Just something did not agree. I mean, I've had that happen to me in Mexico. Until you live over there in the countries for a while, and then, you know, you start to, you know, not be affected by these things anymore. But she got really deathly ill. And, you know, over there, there's a lot of people don't even have refrigerators. And so what will happen is they'll cook up a big thing of rice, you know, they'll have the curry, and but with no refrigeration, okay, and a little money, what they have to do is they'll have to wake up multiple times throughout the night and cook that stuff. And so they were all sleeping on a pallet in this one-bedroom apartment, the whole family, my mom that was there visiting with the missionaries, and they'll get up, and she noticed they were waking up all throughout the night cooking that rice because they had to eat it again the next day. And if they didn't cook it, it would have bacteria. Well, she got sick. So she made her way. She thought she was going to die. She made her way to one of these big hotels there, went in, sat down in the restaurant, and ordered some wine, or it was Jack Daniels. I don't remember what it was, but it was alcohol. And she took a little shot glass and chugged it, killed that worm, dead as a doornail.
Amen.
And, you know, Paul said, don't drink only water, but now wine, you know, for the parasites. So, again, we're not trying to encourage you to become an alcoholic. I personally, folks.
No.
I don't drink, but I'm not of the opinion I'm going to go to hell because I drank a little bit of wine. Again, it's moderation with anything. Don't drink to the redness of the eye. And, again, if the Lord has saved you from an alcoholic demon, then don't tempt yourself. Go get some grape juice. God's fine with that.
You know, Brother Vineyard, Richard Vineyard, he wrote the foreword in a book that I wrote called Be Free.
Yes, ma'am.
And that book is the one that has my picture on the cover when I was about 35 years old. You've seen it, Omega Man.
And,
yes. Well, anyway.
I needed to ask you, by the way, were you a model before Dr. Pat? Before you got saved?
I did do some of it, yeah.
That's what I suspected.
Yeah.
Yes,
indeed. But what Brother Vineyard did was he told a story, and it was that he went to this meeting, and they were all witches, and he was preaching. And afterwards, they invited him to come and eat. They didn't tell him that they were witches, but, of course, he had a powerful deliverance ministry, and he had discerned it. So he sat down and ate, and when after he ate, they sat around and talked a while, and finally one of them said, "Richard, how come you're not dead?" And he said, "Why?" He said, "Why would I die?" He said, "They said, we put enough poison in your food to kill you."
Wow.
He said, "Oh, you can't kill me that way." He quoted them Bible, you know, that they couldn't drink, that you drink poison and you wouldn't die.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Then he said he told them the story of going into a foreign community, probably Africa or someplace. They had a plague going on. And he said he just went out and was praying for the people. And he said they told him, said, "You can't get exposed to that stuff." He said, "Oh, you can't kill me with those germs." He said, "They'll die if they touch me." And he claims that a doctor took some of his blood and put some of those germs in his blood, and they died.
Oh, my goodness.
He told that story. And so I think sometimes we as Christians, we just don't have the faith. We think naturally.
Yes, ma'am.
Whereas he had a supernatural mind. He had a deliverance miracle ministry.
Yes.
And he was really the first man in America that God used to grow a leg out.
Wow.
A fantastic minister, a deliverance minister. And when Richard would speak, he was one of these Pentecostal loud speakers, you know, railing ministers, but when he cast out devils, you could hardly hear him speak. He says, devils don't go because of how loud you talk. He said, devils go because of the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So that's who taught me the deliverance ministry. So
praise God.
He's probably with the Lord now.
Well, I want to say hello to everybody tuning in. We've got people, I'm looking at the chat room tonight, people in the United States. We've got people in Singapore. Love Folds, hello. Got people in France, United Kingdom. Say hello to Marcus out there, tuning back in. Canada, Australia, Serge. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight. Dr. Pat, the chat room just jam-packed tonight. And I'd like to invite everybody back tomorrow night. Saturday night is the School of Deliverance. Sunday night is the School of Intercessor and Warfare Prayer. We get together and we pray, and if you have prayer requests, you can send them in. You post them in the chat room. You can call in. We'll open up the lines for more prayer. Anybody didn't get a chance to call in tonight, same number as always. You can call in for prayer. And Dr. Pat, give out your contact information again and tell people how they can get some deliverance material.
PatHolliday.com and MiracleInternetChurch.com. And tonight we were talking about sexual magic, and I have a manual on that called Sexual Magic, and it goes into all kinds of issues concerning the occult and how the devil uses sex in the occult and ritualisms. It goes into the power of sex in marriages. It's a great little book. And then we talked a little bit tonight about schizophrenia. And that a lot of psychiatrists order that book and psychologists, and they use it in their practices, I understand. And so there are probably about 80 books up there. You can make a choice. We have one section where you can order 40 books. And get 40 books for $200, I think it is. You can't beat the prices. They're cheap, but you call them right down on your desk, and you will see that God will bless you as you study. There's also a book up there that you people that are studying deliverance ministry, you need spiritual weapons. And there's three books in that one. I think it's around $14. But there's three manuals within one. And it teaches you how to protect yourself. Also, up on my websites, there's free television programs. There's DVDs, podcasts. There's sermons. There's articles. And there's newsletters. And so Miracle Internet Church was arranged so that you would have a place to go and have sermons and be blessed in a church that dwells in the Word. And don't forget to go up on megamanradio.com and remnantnetwork.org, and also, remember that next Sunday night, we're going to have communion. So bring your elements. Bring your bread, your grape juice, if you drink, take a little teeny bit of wine, whichever way you want to do it. Just come and join us and be with us. And I know that many of you that are seeking deliverance, you're going to find out that you're going to get some healing next Sunday night. Even some miracles will happen.
Amen, folks. And tell your friends. Invite a friend. That's just one of the things you can do to help get this word out. God bless you, Dr. Pat. See you tomorrow
night.
Thank you. Folks, Dr. Pat Holliday, MiracleInternetChurch.com, PatHolliday.com. Support the ministry of Dr. Pat Holliday. Get a hold of the books and material. Tell a friend about Omega Man Radio. We appreciate you coming in. We have programs every night, Monday through Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Support the ministry. I want to thank everybody who has supported the program. Without you, we could not move forward into new territory. So I praise God for you. I'm praying over all the people that are tuning in, and we'll see you tomorrow night. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Omega Man Radio. Our mission is to operate in the threefold ministry of Jesus Christ and take evangelism, deliverance from demons, and miracle healing to the world. If you would like to partner with us, you can support this work by donating any amount online at OmegaManRadio.com. Join us in an all-out attack against the hosts of hell. It's time to deliver a death blow to the enemy and take back territory for Jesus. Tell a friend and support Omega Man Radio.